The second ever U.S. Social Forum came to a close a few days ago, bringing 20,000 people from across the United States to Detroit, Michigan. Under the slogan, Another World is Possible, Another U.S. is Necessary, social movements, environmental organizations, and organized labor came together for 5 days. With workshops, panel discussions, focus topic assemblies, and arts and culture, participants discussed the impacts of capitalist economic policy on their communities and how to build a better United States from the left. Cynthia Oka joins us by phone to report back from Detroit. Cynthia is a community organizer with the Vancouver Status of Women and was one of the few Canadians in attendance. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You slept up a bit and caught some rest?
Yeah, just a bit.
Right on. Can you describe for us what the social forum looked like on the ground?
On the ground, I mean, there were a lot of people. I think they had over 20,000 registrants. I believe it was 22,000 people registered for the forum. And in terms of the people actually there, I believe it was like 15,000 to 18,000 people attending. So there were a lot of people. Lots of things going on every day. It was 4 days, very packed. There were over 1,000 workshops being held. There were 54 people's movement assemblies. There were a number of plenaries. There were evening arts and culture shows. Lots of local MCs, artists, poets in attendance. There was also the Children's Social Forum where 100 kids were there for over the 4 days. It was held in downtown Detroit at a large hall there called Cobo Hall. It was really big, and a lot of the events was taking place at that hall and also at local universities all around.
Why did you choose to participate?
I chose to participate because, I think it's really important to be in conversation cross-border with organizers doing work in the United States because of how entwined the U.S. and Canadian economy and politics are. So I felt it was important to be there to offer solidarity, to find out what people were doing, and also possibly to network and to see what possibilities exist for cross-border coordination, because as we see, Canadian policy really moves in conversation with U.S. policy in terms of, you know, in terms of war, in terms of oil, in terms of the economy, in so many, in terms of security, intelligence, all of these things. Decision-making circles are definitely very much in bed with each other. So I think it was very important to be in conversation with folks and see, you know, what people were doing and what they needed, and also how they could support struggles in Canada. And I also have a lot of friends who are organizing in the States, so it was really good to see people.
Yeah, and this is especially interesting because so many Canadians involved in the left who had the resources were going to Toronto at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think almost everyone else, except for two other organizers from Vancouver, ended up going to Toronto right after Detroit. So they just crossed the bridge.
Did they have any issues getting across?
I think so, yeah. All three of my friends who came with us have, you know, encountered a lot of police, a lot of securitization. So my friends were specifically, I mean, the cops were really on them all the time when they were at Toronto, and also when they were in Detroit. They had painted a large mural and were bringing it to the G20 to hang. And it was a painting about the tar sands. Their materials got confiscated in Toronto right before they came to Detroit. And since then, I've heard that they came back to Toronto after Detroit and they weren't able to get that stuff back. So that's what's going on with that. And I also had my luggage pulled on the way back from the USSF. It's still sitting in Chicago.
Yeah. I imagine you weren't the only one.
Yeah.
And the other participants there, what sense did you get in terms of what they are trying to get from that experience?
I think people came for many different reasons. I think there were activists who came for the specific purpose of networking. there were other people who came just to kind of find out what issues were going on, like sort of newer activists. I think the most effective people at the forum were folks who had a very planned, they already had a strategy going into the social forum in terms of connecting with other groups and developing alliances and very specific priorities for the following, for the next couple of years. And there were those folks, and those folks came in large delegations. The National Domestic Workers Alliance is a good example of that. They really made full use of the forum in terms of bringing together, you know, excluded oppressed workers from all over, just in terms of organizers and speaking to each other and developing coordinated strategies.
Were there many people from Detroit itself?
There were folks from Detroit itself. There were many organizers, definitely from Detroit. The Bog Center was there. Young Detroit Builders were there. So, like, I mean, they definitely represented themselves. It was like the first day was a full day of like various Detroit grassroots organizations showcasing their work. There are a lot of amazing alternatives being built in Detroit right now. It's very interesting. The city is empty. There's a lot of wealth sitting there, like in terms of really nice buildings, everything very well kept, and almost every other building like on lease or out for rent. So it's interesting to see how pretty kind of the devastation is. Like there is this devastation for sure, and once you get out of the core, you can sort of see more of the effects on the local neighborhoods. But people in Detroit have been had to be very creative in terms of developing alternatives. Like urban agriculture is a really big thing there. People just taking over vacant lots and growing food for their communities, for instance. So, yeah, there were definitely Detroit folks there. There were also folks who are just residents of Detroit that were there. I think though, they were far outnumbered by how many activists from all over the states were there.
You mentioned that the city seemed really devastated. Like, what did it look like? Devastation in the big U.S. cities look like?
I think as I was mentioning earlier, it's the emptiness is really, it's like omnipresent. Like in Detroit, in the downtown core, for instance, there are no grocery stores. Like we were just like shocked. We're like, how can there not be a grocery store? And it's very interesting. I mean, the suburbs, because we actually stayed in one suburb. The suburb seemed, I mean, kind of like any regular U.S. city, but the downtown core, it was very pronounced, sort of what had happened there. If you were to go down a block, I mean, you're lucky to find two stores that are open, and at every single block, at least a few buildings were had signs putting it up for a lease, that it was vacant. So that was very noticeable. There were a lot of police. There were a lot of cops. That was also noticeable. And in terms of poverty, just a lot of, like, just regular folks, like, on the streets, and it's very racialized. You know, that's very, very noticeable. Just in terms of who is being impacted is primarily, obviously, the black communities in Detroit around the poverty that's very noticeable on the ground.
Did that mark of who's impacted by the recession, was that present also in delegates from across the U.S.
I would say it's about 50-50, maybe 60-40. I don't know, maybe because I was paying more attention to the sort of people of color delegations. That's possible. But definitely lots of grassroots organizations from all over. The South was really well represented. Lots of organizations from, you know, North Carolina, from Atlanta, Georgia, from New Orleans. So there was a very strong representation, definitely, of people of color at the USSF.
And now it's still only a few days after the closing of the forum, so it's definitely hard to say what will come of it in the long run. But in what ways do you think the social forum accomplished those roles of movement building that it set out to?
I think it's a beautiful space for people to connect with each other. I think it's very special to be in community with all of these people who all identify as revolutionaries, as activists, as radicals. I think definitely that was very beautiful. You get to meet people who are doing similar work and sort of talk about things. And I think that because of the structure of the social forum and how broad it was, there was just so many things going on, it was challenging to go deep into the work. So unless you were part of, like, unless you came in with a strategy, with a strong delegation, with already a plan, so that the USSF is part of your broader strategy around movement building, I think it supported movements in that way. Like, I can see it as a very strengthening space and strategic space for the National Domestic Workers Alliance, for instance.
How did groups like that make it work for them?
I think that they already had a strong base. They already had, like, a campaign going on. They were already in conversation with a lot of different organizations who are organizing and mobilizing excluded, marginalized workers. So then the U.S. Forum became a space for people to coordinate and to reflect and to support each other, people who are already doing the same work. And I think that there was, like, there was a balance of that at the USSF, with kind of more information sharing, where people were coming in to, like, learn about issues and to kind of meet people. So I think that overall it established a larger sense of community amongst people doing movement work, and I think that that's very valuable. And I personally think, and it's also because I'm coming as, like, you know, as a Canadian, as someone from Canada, like, I wasn't part of a large delegation or anything, and I wasn't coming with that kind of strategic perspective mm-hmm. into the space. So I think that for me, like, the thing that I got the most out of it was those connections with people. And I think that's it seems to me like that's a larger role that it served. There were, like, important resolutions that got passed. Definitely I do want to mention the Indigenous Peoples Movement Assembly, because they came out with, like, some really, really powerful concrete demands and very assertive of, I mean, this is what we want. This is what we want people to do. These are our goals, our objectives, like, very... very strategic in that sense. So I think that was a great space for them in that sense. So it kind of, like, build a base inside of the U.S. Social Forum. I think that's the primary role that it served for strengthening movements that already have kind of a direction to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And the picture we've been painting so far shows a lot of discussion and dialogue and skill sharing. Were there any action-oriented components of it?
There were, and I think, again, because of the broad nature, I feel that from my perspective, there wasn't really, like, anything to hold people accountable to follow through. I think that's one. And secondly, it was, as I was mentioning earlier, there wasn't enough time or space to kind of go really deep into something unless you were already part of, like a delegation that was doing that work already. So, like, I really noticed kind of there was a lot of information taking and a lot of conversation and less debate and decision making. So I think that would be something I look forward to experiencing more at the next U.S. Social Forum.
And from what you could see, how were the communities in Detroit benefiting from the social forum happening there?
I really want to honor the Detroit community because I think that they gave a lot more to movement people who came up to Detroit. They offered their city, they offered their spaces, and there were these tours that were organized to kind of show people what folks were doing. I wasn't actually able to go on a tour because I had my son with me. It was just too expensive. But there were these tours. And there were volunteer teams that got set up, so like you could sign up to volunteer with a specific Detroit project, like whether it was like painting a wall or doing some farming, and multiple other things. What? And I think that in that sense, actually, I think Detroit gave a lot to people who came. They gave inspiration, they gave ideas. There was a lot of energy. I think in terms of what folks came, from my perspective, I see it as more kind of like individuals connecting with specific projects in Detroit and less so of organizational commitments to doing building work in Detroit in connection with what they were doing in their respective cities.
Right.
Yeah.
And you mentioned your son was with you. What was he doing during this whole time?
He was at the Children's Social Forum.
What's the Children's Social Forum?
So the Children's Social Forum, there was actually some, like, a little bit of a lack of clarity when we got there about this, and there's been, I know that there's been some challenges. I also really wanted to honor the people who took on the child care work. From my son, what I know is that, you know, they did really cool things. Like, they learned all about the history of Detroit. Like, Paul knows more about Detroit at this point than I do. He knows, like, the history of specific buildings there. They went on field trips. They did a lot of art together. So I think it was community building amongst the children of organizers, which is kind of cool in and of itself. And they were learning a lot. They were learning a lot about, they were talking about issues around gentrification and the movement of capital and things like that, in child language, I presume.
Yeah.
But Paul was, the other day, he was telling me about, you know, the history of particular buildings and what happened and why it's empty now and things like that. So there's a way, there's an intentionality in terms of translating it to the kids, what's happening in the world. So I think that was pretty cool.
Right on. Well, now, the first U.S. Social Forum occurred sometime after the World Social Forum had already been taking place for some time, right?
Yeah, it was in 2007, I believe.
And I think different provinces in Canada have had their own social forums, but how do you think this kind of convergence would translate to a kind of pan-Canadian social forum?
I think from my perspective, in terms of what I experienced in the USSF, I really do believe that there is a need for larger coordination amongst movements continentally, like across North America. And I mentioned this to, I mean, pretty much all the organizers that I spoke with at the social forum. It's like, you know, like, what do you guys think about having a North American social forum instead? Because we really can't stand apart from the fact that, yeah, that a lot of the decisions that are being made by governments and by corporations are going across the borders. So I really think that we need to, from my perspective, I really think that we need to challenge, like, American-based organizers to look beyond their own borders, because there is definitely a trend to be U.S.-centric, and they don't know a lot of what's going on in Canada, and I think that needs to change. Because, for instance, just one of the clearest examples is around, like, resolutions or items of action relating to Indigenous solidarity. I mean, these are communities and nations that transcend the imposed colonial borders. Like, how are you going to make resolutions solely for nations that are inside the American nation state entity? Like, it doesn't make sense, because that kind of just re-entrenches colonialism. So I really think that that's a very clear example of how these conversations need to transcend the Canadian-U.S. border, and it serves particular authorities for us to continue to do our work in separation from each other, and kind of like, well, that's going on for them. And this is not to take away from the fact that they're clearly different contexts. The United States, for instance, has like 50 states, right? And each state has specific things going on. That doesn't mean that people shouldn't formulate their visions and strategies in conversation with each other, because at the end of the day, it is precisely also these borders that we are trying to break down, right? So I think that from my perspective, it's more useful to kind of broaden the U.S. social forum, because it's already organized, rather than kind of like restart the wheel in Canada. That's my opinion.
Are we at the same place in terms of on-the-ground organizing in Canada as the U.S.?
I think that, I will say this, is that I think that the disciplinariness, the sort of disciplinary social control in Canada is a lot more insidious and a lot more intense in some ways, because of a relatively, and this is generalization, higher standard of living than major cities in the United States. Again, like, this is relative and general. But I think what I, like, for instance, like, you know, we have a public health care system. The social security is generally higher than the United States, things like that. But I do think that from my experience and from what I've observed, there's a lot of organizing in Canada that focuses on performing dissent, and I think that's very important because of the facade that Canada has to the world. That's like a humanitarian peacekeeping, like everyone is like happy schmappy here kind of thing. So I think it's very important to have these organized performances of dissent against the state. I really want to honor like our courageous comrades at the G20. So I think there's that. And then I think in the States, because of the neglect by the government of so many marginalized populations, people have had to organize in a different way to kind of, to like really win at governmental levels. Like that there are folks visioning to take over school boards and municipal governments and, you know, legislative apparatus. So I think that's also really important. Like, I mean, I think these are pieces of organizing, like different emphases that need to speak to each other, because I really don't think you can focus on one and not on the other. And I think the states, I mean, they just have also more people, right? They have like 10 times more people than we do. So there's like a lot more, there's a broader variety of like what people are doing.
Right.
Well, but definitely a focus on organizing to win is something that I was really noticing there.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Cynthia.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it was our pleasure. I've been speaking with Cynthia Oka. She is a community organizer with the Vancouver Status of Women and was one of the Canadians who attended the U.S. Social Forum in Detroit, Michigan. If you would like to find more information on the U.S. Social Forum, you can visit the official website at www.ussf2010.org.